Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Abundant Life Ministries has moved to a new location in Palm City, Florida. We're currently meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. It's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for weekly services. Join us now as we go to a service in progress.
So when all these things, this is Luke chapter 21, verse 28, when all these things begin to happen, and last week we read some from Matthew chapter 24 about many of the events going to be happening in the end times. Luke chapter 21 also addresses many of these as well, talking about great earthquakes, famines, epidemics. In many lands there will be terrifying signs and great miraculous signs in the heavens as well. But in verse 28, it gives us some insight. When all these things begin to happen, stand up straight. My translation says, stand straight and look up, for your salvation is near. Stand straight, look up, for your salvation is near. When I read that, I guess it's been a few weeks ago, I was reading through here and I was reading that. I realized that when the nations of the earth are going through turbulent times, and our nation, I don't have to go into detail to inform you that our nation is in trouble. We're in trouble economically, we're in trouble racially because of so many issues of strife that keeps getting dug up. We're in trouble politically. We're in trouble judicially. Our courts are a mess. I would like to be going into court these days because it is shocking to me and embarrassing to me to say this is what my country has become, where the law seems to be ignored and evil seems to reign on so many levels. And so it might be the plan of the enemy to get the church to be discouraged. Well, how many of you this morning will agree with me that we choose not to be discouraged? I just choose not to participate in the enemy's plan to bring discouragement. I don't want to live with frustration. I don't want to live in a downcast, depressed, anxiety mode. I don't believe that's the will of God whatsoever, and I don't believe that's the level of the grace of God that He has for us. And so we will choose to live standing tall and lifting our head up, not only as if we have every reason to be joyful, but because we actually are joyful. Because God gives us strength in the midst of the strife and warfare that's around us. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, we see those verses which we had already looked at. And then I want to focus in on 34 and following for this morning. We've sort of scanned over this quickly before, but let's start with verse 34. Watch out. Don't let me find you living in careless ease and drunkenness, and filled with the worries of this life. That sort of reemphasizes what we just made mention of. What is this about? Well, if you jump back up a couple verses, you'll get the context. And we'll start with verse 31. Just so when you see the events I've described taking place, you can be sure that the kingdom of God is near. I assure you this generation will not pass from the scene until all these events have taken place. We spoke of that some last week in the interpretation of that. It certainly as some would say, was speaking of Israel as a nation, that Israel as a nation would not pass away, that God would accomplish all of these things within the histories of Israel. Of course, we know Israel will not be destroyed. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will remain forever. And some look at that and say, well, it was the church age that he was referring to when he said that the age would not pass or the season would not pass. But certainly we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will not pass away, that the promises of God to the most minute detail will be fully accomplished, and that we can depend and trust completely in what God has said he will do. He will fulfill his word. And so we know this. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will remain forever. So then the admonition is, since I am going to be coming back, this is about the returning of the Lord. There's going to be a lot of things happening. But in the midst of all of those things that are happening, we have a book in the Bible called 1 Thessalonians. Any of you familiar with that book in the Bible? 1 Thessalonians. You might want to read chapter 4. And you might want to just remind yourself that God has told us what's going to happen. It says something like this, that the trumpet's going to sound. And this is not an earthly trumpet. This is a heavenly trumpet. It's going to be a loud sound. The trumpet's going to sound. And it's going to be a signal that the dead in Christ who have died and have been buried somewhere, and we won't get into how you should be laid to rest, because some people think you should have a traditional funeral and should be put in a box and put in the ground, and others believe you should, it doesn't matter, or you should be cremated or whatever. Let me just assure you that people have died all kinds of ways in fires. Some have been probably eaten by whales. I think we have one in the Word of God, some by sharks. It's not going to matter how you died or your relatives died. You may be alive when Jesus comes. I may too, which would be great. But the Word of God promises that whatever happened to this body is not going to hinder God from raising up the elements of it and creating a glorified body. And so when the trumpet sounds, that trumpet is going to signal the miraculous restoration of a lot of people who have been in Christ. And that's what the word says. The dead in Christ will be raised up. And then we who are alive and remain, so if you're living at that time when Jesus comes back for his church, if those who are alive and remain who are in Christ will be caught up with them, and then we will be together with the Lord, and we're to encourage one another with these words. So those are words that say, whatever happens down here, nothing's going to keep me from going up there. Hello? Whatever happens here, whatever happens up here, whatever happens around here, none of the things going on in the world can keep me from being raised up there to spend forever with the Lord. We need to encourage one another with these words, because we do live in a fleshly house that can have squeaks and creaks and conditions. And somebody was asking about broken bones, and I've had enough. I've only had about 23, but that was enough for me. I'm kind of wimpy. I don't like broken bones. I don't like doing that. But, you know, some of you have had much more. But whatever happens to this body does not hinder the plan and the work of God in our life, and we need to be encouraged by that. So watch out. The word says, Jesus is saying to us, don't be caught up in being careless or having careless ease and drunkenness and filled with the worries of this life. Number two, don't let that day catch you unaware, because none of us need to be shocked at the return of the Lord. You know, for us, we are expecting the Lord to return, right? And so we're not to be shocked. It's not going to catch us off guard. We are ready for the return of the Lord. We are looking for his return, and we live with an expectancy that today is the day that I'm ready. I'm ready to go today. So I keep my spiritual bags packed at all times, and I'm ready to go. Someone called it being rapture ready. Just staying packed, be ready to go, right? So this is the only way that a true believer is to live always ready. I read a book by a missionary who said that as God was dealing with him in his life about being available to travel overseas to other nations and to minister, and he ended up coming to the place where his personal preparation was. He said, I sensed that I should be ready to leave within 24 hours to go anywhere in the world that God might send me. And I thought about that. And, you know, you ladies might want to think about that, you know, just to pack, you know, in a suitcase for a few days away. It might take a little time to do that. But I thought about that. We should not need 24 hours to get ready for the Lord's return. We need to have an instantaneous readiness. So if this morning, if you're watching, you're part of our service today, or you're in this building today, or you hear this on the radio, if you do not have an absolute assurance that if your heart stopped right now, that you would be accepted in God's heaven, then I want to invite you this morning to make that choice to receive the gift of God. Now, I look out and everybody looks perfect and looks perfectly saved and perfectly ready for heaven. But because the Word of God has a passage of 10 virgins who, out of the 10, there were only 5 that were ready, that tells me that I need to preach messages from the Word of God that instructs you to be ready, that challenges you to be ready, that stirs your heart to be ready. And you may say, well, I am ready. I'm ready to meet the Lord. Well, then we need to be encouraged. We need to be challenged. We need to be prayerful to pray for our family and those that are near us that we have contact with so that we will not become casual about the importance of ministering to them as well. All right, so it addresses the aspect of living, of not being found careless with careless ease or drunkenness. Don't let that day catch you unaware, as in a trap, as in a trap. We might talk a little bit about that. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep a constant watch and pray, if possible, that you may escape these horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Right now in Matthew, we will go to Matthew now, and you might want to, we'll probably be coming back to this, but in Matthew chapter 24, another passage that addresses these kinds of things, Matthew chapter 24. And I didn't really take much time last week to read through this with you. But and I know that many of you are familiar with what we call the rapture. That's not a word we find in the scriptures, but it is a word that's described in scriptures. It's referred to the catching away. And so there's a second coming that the scripture talks about, but there's also a catching away. The catching away we call the rapture. The second coming is when Jesus comes back to Israel and lands on the Mount of Olives in the mountain cracks, and he becomes the Prince of Peace for his people. And so that day's going to come, but I believe that before that, there's going to be the rapture. Now, some others think it's going to come after, in the middle, before, you know, whatever. But I believe that, that there is a rapture wherein God's going to call his church home, and 1 Thessalonians talks about that. So in this passage of Scripture, chapter 24, if you drop down with me to verse 37, it says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up until the time Noah entered the ark or the boat. Now, I believe that's important. This one verse is important, though it's substantiated in other scriptures. I believe it's important to take note of the fact that according to this verse, there will still be marrying, there will still be commerce, there will still be plenty of food, there will still be favor, there will still be nations that are in existence, there will still be order, there will still be lawful control over things, and that many people will be busy enjoying life as if it was just ongoing normal. And that's what took place during the days of the flood. We don't read in the scriptures that they were starving to death. They weren't starving to death. We don't read that they were all homeless and had no place to live. They were not homeless. They had places to live. We do not read that they were all dying of famines or dying of disease. They weren't all dying that way. What this scripture says is that there is a danger that because of the ability and the ability of man and the blessing of God, because it's the goodness of God that reaches out to touch people's lives, Romans tells us that God will continue to be a good father to the righteous, the just, and the unjust, right up until the time of the catching away. Now, that doesn't mean that these other signs aren't going to be happening. They're going to be global. We looked at that a couple weeks ago, that the time's going to come when the Christian will be actually hated by all nations, and that many will die during those days. These are days speaking of the end times. But as you know, we have all of that going on right now in various places in the world where there are martyrs today that are giving their life for their faith, and it seems so far away from us that it doesn't seem that real, but it is that real. And so the scripture tells us that it will be like it was in Noah's day, that people will be enjoying banquets, parties, weddings. People didn't realize, verse 39 tells us, what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. Now, understand that Noah was speaking about what was going to happen. But he was kind of the solo voice, right? Because it was only Noah and his family, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. There were only eight that were saved, eight humans saved out of the entire population. And yet, they were righteous in an unrighteous world. And so, we should think about that regardless of what's happening in the world, that does not limit your ability to please God. In any generation, in any circumstance, it's not only possible, but it's the plan of God that all of us, individually and collectively, are victorious in our lives, regardless of these days that we're facing. And we are facing some things in our days that are challenging. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes, just like it was with Noah. And then it gives us this illustration. And as a boy, I remember hearing these messages about one person working with another. They've been friends maybe their whole lives, and one just disappears. And some of you watch some of that maybe on television or maybe on some movies and some films, and you go, oh, that's just a movie. That's not really real. But the Word of God says it's really real. It's really real. This is what's going to happen. And so the Word says two men will be working together in the field, and one's going to be taken. The other's going to be left. Now, that's not going to be the case for all who are working, because some of you are working with other believers. And so when someone steps into the shop, there may just be no one at home because you've all been taken, which is kind of an awesome thing. But this is what's going to take place. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. Now, this is encouraging to me because this passage says two men and two women. So when Jesus comes, we'll still know the difference. I kind of like that. I mean, the world's trying to mess things up so we don't know the difference. But, you know, most of you know the difference between who is a man and who is a woman. So I know that, the enemy would love to distort that. But two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other will be left. And then verse 42 says, so be prepared because you don't know what day your Lord is coming. And again, if you do a little search, there's all kinds of people right now talking about that the Lord has to come in 24 and a lot of different things. The Lord will come when the Father so orders. I know that for sure. And we can know the seasons. We don't know the hour. We don't know the day, but we certainly should know the season. And I would hope and pray that even those who are not in the family yet will see from your walk with God that there are answers to what's going on in the world today. So this is going to happen. It's going to happen just like this. And I mentioned to you last Sunday that I still remember the phone number of Sister Di that was at the top of our street. Because if my parents didn't come home, I just called their house. And I knew if she answered the phone that Jesus had not come yet. And to this day, the other day at the 50th high school reunion, I was sitting across from one of her sons, who was one of the kids I fought with on occasion. He was much better and beat me up pretty well, and I reminded him of that. But when I asked him his phone number, I said, "Let me tell you what your phone number is." And I told him, I said, "I remember that number because I called it so many times, because I grew up with an awareness that Jesus could come anytime and I needed to be ready." And I pray that once again, we as a nation and as the church are aware of the fact that the day's coming when God's going to say enough is enough. There's enough killing, there's enough shooting, there's enough abuse, there's enough gangs, there's enough drugs, there's enough war, there's enough pain, there's enough sickness, there's enough disease. There's just enough, and God's going to say it's enough, and the trumpet's going to sound. And that could actually happen while I'm standing here this morning. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's really not anything that has to happen that God couldn't take care of to sound the trumpet today. I live with that kind of expectancy. Are you still with me this morning? Okay, so we see these scriptures in Matthew. I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 21. I want to just talk for a couple minutes before we leave about these three things. Don't live carelessly. That's from verse 34. Don't live carelessly. Watch out, don't let me find you living in careless ease and drunkenness. And don't be filled with the worries of this life. There's a few things that I believe is potentially dangerous for Americans. Even though we used to be called a Christian nation, we're kind of post-Christian now, right? But I do believe there's some danger, and I want to address that in reference to this careless ease. And let me say it this way. A lot of you have seen a lot of things that have to do with church. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you watched it on TV. Maybe you read about pastors failing. Maybe you've been in a church where a pastor ran away with the offering or ripped somebody off. I don't know. But we live in a nation where there has been enough of a foundation of Christian principles laid that many have developed some kind of an opinion about what the church is. And many, when you say the church, they think of a nice building someplace, like a crystal cathedral or something, and may not think about the fact that we individually are actually the church. But some would say, well, I've seen it all. I've seen it. Others would say, I've been there and I've done it. I've been involved in this, been involved in that. I worked this program, worked that program. I've done a lot of things. I've seen it all. I've done it all. And then some would even say, I don't need to go fellowship with the body of Christ because I know it all. And you may say, well, I would never say that, but many people by their absence testify to that. And they will simply say, I don't need anything else. Besides, it's a bunch of hypocrites over there. Bunch of crooks. They're talking about a local church. And if I have to hang out with those kind of people, I don't want to go to heaven with a bunch of people like that. And it's just this attitude Do you know our nation is filled with people that at one time were actually believers and followers of Christ? And many people say, well, I'm a believer. I don't need to do that anymore. I don't need to be a part of any of that. And I believe that may be part of what this scripture is actually addressing, a scripture that talks about the returning of the Lord. Because when it says, don't let me find you living in careless ease and drunkenness and filled with the worries of this life, being consumed mentally and emotionally and relationally, maybe with all of that. I was just reading in Revelation, and you're familiar with the book of Revelation. I believe you all are. But when we look in Revelation at the church of Laodicea, you familiar with that? And I was thinking about that church as I was reading this and studying this and preparing. And I was just thinking of what Jesus said about that church. He said, this message is from the one who is Amen. This is Revelation chapter 3. It's verse 14. I'm picking up with that. Then 15. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. That to me describes religious. Neither hot nor cold. Oh, I believe. My people tell me that. I believe. I'm gonna give you my personal guesstimate. My guesstimate is there's more people outside of worship this morning who say they believe than there is inside saying they believe. Are you familiar with the fact that the scripture says the devil believes, but he trembles? In other words, the devil knows what the Word of God says is true, and so he trembles at what the Word of God says. But because we know so much, we've been exposed to so much, our grandparents, oh, they were religious. Parents, oh, my parents, my mama, oh, she was crazy religious. My dad, well, you know, he kind of got drug along, you know, but people have all their stories, right? They have all their stories, and so it's real easy to have a casual relationship with God and think that's okay. But really, that's sort of like being married and living in different houses and having different lives and not being ever together. And so many people think that they're getting ready for heaven, but they have no interest in the family down here. Can you imagine that? Yeah, I don't want to hang out with those Christian people, you know. And yet you want to go to heaven. Oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Well, who do you think is going to be there? Well, Christian people are going to be in heaven. And so, yeah, what did somebody say? It's hard enough to live with the saints below, you know. But saints above, that's going to be fine. But living with the saints below, that's another story, you know, down here. But I believe in our nation, we have a potential problem right now. We need a revival. Because what the Word says in Revelation is that Jesus says, I would that you were either hot or cold. I wish you were one or the other. Make up your mind. Really, that's what Jesus is saying to the Laodicean church. He's saying, make up your mind. Are you going to follow God and follow His Word, or are you going to die and drop into hell because you refuse the love and the gift and the offer God gave, right? I mean, this is the Word of God. Somebody's going to say, Pastor Jonathan, you're just preaching a really hard message. No, I'm just telling you what God says.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.